This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
Seasons are currently changing, and that comes with a lot. It comes with what we're chatting about just now before we go to 5 o'clock. The ants, the mosquitoes, they're making their way back. And man, oh man, there is lots of planning and having to figure out how to do life with that. But also, with season change being upon us and the new season being around, season change problems are also in full swing, which includes allergies, which is a big talking point for many people during this time. Now, a third of South Africans are expected to suffer from some allergic disease during their life. And a very shocking 40% of allergy sufferers are children. And there are quite a number of common conditions that are usually experienced by a lot of people, from eczema to asthma, allergic rhinitis, which is hay fever, what a lot of people would know, food allergies, and so many different things. And the idea of talking about allergies is one that many of us don't know too much about, but at the same time, it is one that many of us will find ourselves experiencing it, navigating it, affected by it in some way, form or another. And this afternoon, I have the pleasure of having Prof. Mike Levine of the Allergy Foundation South Africa, who is the head of the pediatric allergology at the University of Cape Town. And he's going to break down this very commonly spoken about thing, but also not so well understood phenomenon that is called allergy. Prof, thank you so much for making time to be with us this afternoon. Welcome to the Afternoon Drive.
Thanks, Prof.
Now, Prof, as we're speaking about, the idea of allergies, it's something that sounds so complicated. We hear it very often, but not many people know so much about it. Let's start maybe there. When I speak about an allergy, what is it exactly? What's happening in the body? I just know from what we speak.
Yeah, let's break it down. So normally we're exposed to all sorts of things, whether it's stuff that we breathe in, or whether it's things that are in our environment, on our skin, or that we eat, or medications. And your immune system, your body, is supposed to be able to deal with this and to be able to tolerate all of those normal kind of exposures. So what happens in some people is your immune system loses that ability to just say to itself, listen, relax, calm down, this isn't a threat. And it perceives that innocent thing in the environment as being dangerous to the body, and it sets up a reaction that we call allergies. Now, the actual mechanisms that are involved in allergies can be different with different conditions, but as you've already mentioned, it leads to some of the important conditions. If you're breathing in an allergen, it can cause hay fever or asthma. If you're being stung by an animal, you were talking about ants and bees and wasps, and you're hypersensitive, then that can also be an allergy. And then there are other allergic reactions like urticaria or hives, eczema, and other conditions. And what they all have in common is that your immune system is getting confused and causing a reaction to something that really you should have no problem in tolerating.
And this is something that is genetic. It's not like I did something wrong and now this is what I'm dealing with. Is that a good assumption to get to?
Well, Kossi, that's really interesting because, yes, there's definitely a genetic tendency to have allergies. But what is known from allergies across the globe and from some really, really nice local research that we did in South Africa is that allergies are much more common in higher socioeconomic settings and also in our urban areas rather than our rural areas. And this is even in the same genetic groups. So what really that means is that there's something in the rural environment that is very strongly protective against allergies. And we lose that when we go into an urban environment. And then we're exposed to all sorts of things, including food and other toxins and pollutants that then promote you to have allergies. So yes, there's definitely a genetic factor, but there's also a strong environmental factor.
This is something.
But
that's...
it is important to go back to your question: was did I do something wrong? And the answer to that is usually no, but there's a tiny little bit of small print because in the past, people used to say, doctors used to say that you shouldn't expose yourself to something when you're young that is likely to cause an allergy, because then you will acquire an allergy to that particular thing. And in fact, we now know that it's the other way around. You need to be exposed to those things in order to learn how to deal with them. So no more extra clean washing, no need for you to, sanitize every day, let your kids crawl around in the dirt and have some fun and lick the dog and play with their pets. We don't believe in that ultra-sanitized environment anymore.
You've got to be a little bit worried in the terms of licking the dog, but I do get the point that you may be coming across at, and I think for a lot of people, this is where they've got a lot of questions. And maybe you're listening right now, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, Corsi, they're navigating the conversation of allergies. It's something that's become very complex for me personally, growing up into an adult, and suddenly I'm allergic to something, or even my kids. Pop me a message, 071-3640-376. And hey, our prof is here. He'll be keen to answer some of your questions. And maybe on that same note, Prof, when I think about a lot of what you're saying right now is new information, but partially also information I've known. Are you finding that South Africans are generally in the know of their allergies and their allergic experiences that may be going through?
I'm going to have to say no, Corsi. There's so much misinformation out there that we continually struggling with this issue of trying to get our patients and our lay people to understand the facts about allergies and to discriminate between, you know, what's real and what you can read on the interwebs. All of these so-called experts who are doing their own research and promoting crazy tests and crazy management strategies that in some cases are frankly unethical and harmful to the people who might be following that advice. So that's one of the reasons why we actually founded the Allergy Foundation of South Africa, is so that we could have a really strong public relations group that is backed by science, that gives information to lay people in language that they can understand and that is really helpful for them in dealing with their conditions. So for your listeners out there who are going to hopefully have some of their questions answered, but also have other questions raised by this discussion, please, guys, go online if you've got access and look at www.allergyfoundation.co.za, because there's so much information on there. And we're not going to have enough time to cover even a tiny little tenth of it.
Absolutely. We're not going to be able to have enough time to do that. But for the time that we do have this afternoon, Prof, I maybe want to start off with a lot of people experience something that I've experienced. Maybe speak for my life. I remember I went through a phase where I was allergic to freshly cut grass. Every single time I'd be around that, my eyes would just completely swell up to a point where sometimes I'd completely close on the one eye or whatever the situation may be. But I say used to, because that has now come and gone. And some people have the reverse, where from a young age, I've always consumed whatever or been in contact with whatever is maybe causing that reaction now. But as I grew older now, suddenly this is something that is I'm seeing evident in my life. What may be the cause of this?
So that's a fascinating, fascinating question. So first of all, the acquiring things later in life, that's a little bit easier to explain. Because what happens is if you're exposed to something in the right time and in the right dose, you become tolerant to that. But if you're not exposed to something when you're young and then you're only exposed to it when you're later, it's likely that you won't be able to tolerate that thing appropriately. So that's one of the reasons why people get things when they're later. What it's a little bit also difficult to explain is if you've tolerated something for a very, very long time, and then later, even though you've been exposed to it all along, you've suddenly lost that tolerance. And the issue of how you lose tolerance and how you regain that tolerance is for us in the allergy world, like the holy grail of things that people are searching for in all of the scientific papers, because what that will allow us to do is to treat people and take away their sensitization completely, make somebody not allergic to something that they were previously allergic to. And we do have some ways of doing that. We've got some options in terms of immunotherapy and some of the very, very fancy and expensive biologic drugs. But in general, in allergy, although we can control the conditions very easily and very effectively, in most cases, we actually cannot cure them and remove that sensitization completely.
Sure.
And the reverse is what you spoke about somebody who has something earlier on and then they become tolerant to it. And usually it's not so much a question of them becoming tolerant to it, but that their bodies are less likely to be able to show that reaction. So for example, if you've got asthma and you're a kid, You can have wheezing and difficulty breathing because you're allergic to grass or house dust mites. That allergy to grass and house dust mites probably isn't going to go away for your whole life. But as you physically grow and you get a bit bigger and older, your lungs mature and your nose passages enlarge, so it doesn't seem as if you're actually having as many problems, and you might not even notice that problem. And we often say, yes, you've outgrown it, but the bad news is when you hit 40 or 50 and your lung function starts to go down again, you're actually quite likely to get those symptoms coming back again. They never really went away. They just kind of became less apparent.
Sure. This is actually something really interesting. And I think it's a space that many people find themselves in where suddenly they're going through this. In actual fact, I've got a voice note that's come through on the WhatsApp line where someone is asking, well, Prof, what sometimes happens is that this person hasn't had hair eggs in a number of years. And now all of a sudden they're finding that they're experiencing some eczema out of nowhere after 30 years or so. And she's asking what could have been the cause. It sounds like the gist of it is that they may have been allergic at some point in time. And maybe it's speaking to exactly what you've just said right now, where it may have been gone for the 30 years. And now as they're growing older, this may be returning.
Yeah, eczema is an even more complicated condition than some of the others, because not only are there allergy aspects that are involved with it, there's also the issue of how well your skin cells stick together and how leaky they are to water, letting water get out and making your skin dry. And then there's the whole confounding factor of people who've got eczema being much more sensitive to having contact reactions. So that's an allergic reaction as a contact dermatitis rather than an atopic dermatitis, which is the correct name for normal eczema. So it gets really, really complicated. And people with eczema also have high sensitivity to getting, or high likelihood for getting, infections on their skin. So it is really a condition that comes and goes over time. And, you know, relapses and resolution is kind of almost what people with eczema have to get used to.
Mm. I've got another question that's coming through over here, Prof. Someone's asking, please ask the Prof for me if sinuses are an allergy, especially now that the seasons are changing, red eyes, itching of nose, sneezing. I'm sure this is something that you're seeing more and more, and cases, phone calls probably coming through to your office and the foundation about this. Let's maybe double click into that. The seasons are changing. Hay fever, a lot of what you called, what you inhale is seeming to be quite high. Talk us through that.
So, yeah, what your listener is probably referring to is allergic rhinitis. And there are two kind of subtypes of allergic rhinitis. There's the subtype that is very quick, comes on just with a small peak in the pollen season or the first peak in the pollen season. And that's what we usually call hay fever. It's a pollen that kind of spikes up quickly and then goes away, like trees, for example. If there's an allergen that you're sensitive to, some of our grass pollens have a very long pollen season. And then there are all the internal allergens like house dust mite, for example. Those symptoms last for almost the whole year around.
Sure.
And in medical talk, we call that persistent allergic rhinitis. And most lay people call that sinus. Now, the important thing is that sinus is not the same as sinusitis.
Mm.
Sinusitis means there's an infection in your nasal passages and in your sinuses. And sinus is just the layperson's word for that persistent allergic rhinitis. Very, very different conditions. But what your listener is overwhelmingly likely referring to is persistent allergic rhinitis. Incredibly common, incredibly troublesome for patients, and really causes big impacts on their quality of life, in children on their schooling, in adults on their work performance, and is something that is really not taken very seriously by many doctors, as well as some people even who have it.
Yeah, and I've seen some reports, in actual fact, from your own website, speaking about how this affects, obviously, the quality of life, the quality of schooling that some children may be experiencing as a result of that. Prof, I think we've got so much that we would want to cover, and there's so many questions coming through over here. Maybe as we close off our discussion, and of course, we'll set up another time to be able to break down a little bit more into answering some of these questions. For parents who may be listening right now, and they've got a hunch of, I think my child is responding some sort of way to something that they eat, something they're ingesting, being in contact with something, what's the best way forward that you recommend to them? Abstaining completely to it, or maybe you recommend something else?
So definitely, definitely not. Because what we said earlier about you needing to be exposed to something in order for your body to get to deal with it properly, it is not good medicine to just say, okay, I think I've got a problem with X, Y, and Z. I'm going to ignore it or stay away from it. And in fact, many doctors make exactly the same mistake. So the first piece of advice, and probably the most important piece of advice that I'm going to give your listeners today, is find yourself a doctor who knows something about allergies so that you get the right advice. Because many GPs, even some pediatricians, who are not able to order the right tests, understand how to interpret the right tests, and do, for example, the challenges that may be required, a food challenge that might be required to see if somebody is really allergic to something or not. What those doctors often do is the same as that first instinct that you've got. It's like, oh, chutz, I think that this person's got an egg allergy, now avoid eggs. The biggest issue with that is you're going to remove something from that child's diet, and you're going to actually remove the opportunity for them to get used to it, and you're going to make them allergic when they weren't allergic to it in the beginning.
Sure.
So really don't try to deal with this yourself. Get an expert. On the AFSA website, there is a list of doctors and other healthcare practitioners who've got special interest and expertise in allergies, because we really want to make sure that patients access the right people to get advice on this really quite complicated and difficult area.
Prof, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I'm very certain that we will definitely set up a time to be able to discuss this even more, answer some of the questions that have come through, and also just make it a little bit more practical. Like you're saying, a lot of people are uncertain. They're not so informed in terms of navigating this place. And for a lot of parents, they're just wondering, how do I do this? Where do I go from this? So thank you so much for spending time with us. And also thank you for the work that you're doing through the foundation in creating a platform where people can be able to learn so much more versus all the misinformation that is out there on the web.
Thanks for the opportunity, Khosi. It's been great.
Absolute pleasure. That's Prof. Michael Levin of Levine, of the Allergy Foundation South Africa, joining us this afternoon, talking all things allergies in this season change that we're all experiencing. Something that we don't know too much about, but also so important that we learn about. And a little bit later on, we'll set up another time to chat to the professor to break it down for us all the more. What does it look like? What do you do? How do you navigate it? But if you want to get more details in the interim, you're more than welcome to go ahead and visit the website of the Allergy Foundation South Africa. That's www.allergyfoundation.co.za. And by virtue of going there, a lot of the questions that you might have might be answered right there.
Impact 103 Afternoon Drive.